Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. This is Marcia, Dr. Cupertino, coming as your host for the Global Vision for Living Today show. I know many of you could not wait for me to hit that little click button. I see all of you coming and going, coming, coming, coming. Thank you again. You know, there's so much going on in the world, and so many are proclaiming themselves to be experts at why things are as they are, why people's lives are not what they should be, and more than ever, why people should continue living their lives as they always have. Oh, my God, that's such faulty, false advice. Everything breathing has a designated leader. Isn't that something? I heard that this Sunday on a religious show. Everyone living has a designated reason for living. And, of course, there's got to be someone pulling the strings. And that is what the Global Vision for Living Today show is all about, helping you live your best life so that you'll be able to pull the right strings through the right people, the right circumstances, the right environment, the right everything. And we come to you this morning with the illustrious Dr. William Harrison. He's been a frequent guest on the show. And in fact, he's almost a co-host because he has so much wisdom. And of course, coming from the background that he has, people tend to listen to things that he advises and say, and of course, recommend for their life. But good morning again. I know you're wondering, what can I do to make my life work for me? We've had this series really going for, this is for the fourth week. What can I do to make my life worth living? You're breathing. You're standing upright on 2 feet. You're waving your hands from side to side. You're doing everything you can as a human being to proclaim victory for the life that you're leading now and the life that you want to. But listen to me. The time is now. The time has come right now. Some are saying for me to live the life that I was born to live and destined to live. But I want to know, how do I do this? You know, I run over here and there's trouble problems. I go here, there's trouble problems. I get on the phone and call my friends and family. They have problems. What can I do to make my life worth living? Colonel Harrison, so many is walking around in perpetual darkness. They got jobs. They got money. They got a beautiful spouse. They got everything that a man or woman would want, but they're unhappy. They're unhappy. They can run to the bank when they want to, but they're still not happy. They can eat anything they want and go anywhere they can pay to go, but they're not happy. What is happening that people can't seem to live the life that they want to? What's going on with that?
Their life is going in the wrong direction, then there's a need. Good morning, Dr. Cupertino, listening audience. There's a need to make a change. Just similar to that, if you are going to a location from your home, you're driving by car, and you get lost, you have to change your directions or you will continually be lost or remain lost. So I've found through life experiences a change needs to be made in our lives, particularly when we're going the wrong direction. If things are bad in our lives, then that means a change needs to be made. And change meaning change from that what you're doing because it's causing you problems. Reflect, meditate upon that, which will make it better, and then try something different, try something new, rather than doing the same old thing again, because you're going to end up with the same results, being depressed, being discouraged, being unsuccessful, being downtrodden. Change has to come about.
How would one make that change? How would one be able to say, you know what, I'm going to get up this morning, I'm not going to go kill 3 people. I plan to do that, but I'm not going to do it. How would a person change from being in a circumstance that by all intents and purposes, they can't seem to get out of. And I was talking to a friend about this movie called The Joker. You know, people still talking about that. And I'm bringing it up because you mentioned change. This was a killer, an illustrious killer, loved by everybody, but he was a killer. I'm pretty sure he would have wanted to change his course, but how do you do that? How do you wake up in the morning and say, oh, you know what? I've been bad yesterday, so I'm going to change. That word change, God, that sounds like a big job. How do people do that so that the mental institutions will stop being crowded, so that the jails and prisons will show up some food outside the prison jail cells? How do you do that? That sounds wonderful, but how do a person change? Does he need help? Does something have to happen internally? Even law enforcement is not telling people they have to change their ways. They want to know why they ended up in that position in the first place. They'll say, well, what happened? And guess where they go back to? They go all the way back to that person's childhood. He was either beaten, he was either scolded and condemned by his parents and not loved. And we could go on and on that. I certainly a topic for another show. How does a person change? If I walk up and say, hey, Gloria, you need to change. Now I'm going to tell them that. What has to happen for a person to change their ways? How do they do that?
They have to alter or modify that which they're doing that is not benefiting them, that is not in their best interest, that's causing them the problems. In other words, stop what it is they're doing that's causing them problems or causing their lives to be in a turmoil or causing their lives to be jacked up. Just simply stop, think about it, meditate, reflect upon it, give it some thoughtful impression, and then move in a different direction. Some people say a new direction, but a different direction than the current direction or posture that they're in. A change doesn't come about until we make a decision. They have to stop. They have to stop what they're doing that's causing the problems, and do something different. Do something different that's better than what they're doing.
How do they do that? Do they get some help from friends? Do they get some help from maybe some neighbors? Do they go to a university and seek out help? I have a doctorate in psychology, and the mind is really a very tricky thing. The mind really is the servant of the body. Some say the body is the servant of the mind. So how does one just, you know, wake up, say, Monday morning and say, you know, I've been a bad dog all weekend, I've been a bad dog all week, I want to change. How do they wake up and do something like that? I know you mentioned they've got to reach out. How do they do that? Because the crime is on the increase, murder rates on the increase, domestic violence on the increase. I mean, everything wicked and bad in the world seems to have a front row seat. So obviously, you know, people, I don't think they get up and say, well, I'm going to go kill 15 people. Something goes on in the mind. There's a reservoir there in the mind, vortex, that tells people, you know, what to do, how to do it, you know, how you raise your hand. Your brain is steady telling, sending those sensory messages on how and why and when something should happen in a person's life. So do they just wake up and say, I want to change, or do they get on the help line and start calling around, suicide helpline, domestic violence helpline, health helpline? There's so many, and now because of the virus going on, some of them are not even manned anymore. They are telling people, you know, if you don't have any serious issues, wait until after May. I mean, wow, what in the world is going on? What would cause a person to want to do that, to make a change, and then how do they do it? How do I say, okay, I'm tired of going into Ralph's Market stealing? how would I change that? What would I do? Because I'm certainly not going to do anything else. I don't care what advice comes in my mind. I'm not going to do anything else. If something within me is not saying you got to make a change, and I know you know where I'm going with this, how do I, what do I say to anything or any supreme being? How do I make a change? I'm flesh and blood. I'm born in sin, as some might say. How do I make that change?
Well, first, evaluate oneself. Secondly, make a decision. Thirdly, seek counseling, either a trusted relative or friend, or psycho counseling, or helpline counseling. That would be the start.
So I can seek friends, family, tell them I'm eating a would be murderer. So what might they do if I come and say, you know what, I'm up all night, and this is a good subject that we're on, because the topic is what can I do to make my life worth living. So I'm thinking, do a person just get up, make a phone call and say, you know, I get into killing some people and robbing people and murdering. Can you help me? Do you think that person doing something like that would get a good reception? Would he do that? Most people would say, really? And hang the phone up. They might even call the police on that person. So is there any other ways that a person can come to a realization that it's me, and you know who I'm going with this, standing in the need of something. Something has got to happen for me to determine that, you know, I'm not living the life that I should. I'm not living the life that I'm worth living. What must I do? I know, going back, and I know you're very, very good in the ministry, but there was a gentleman, a rich man, that happened to be going through the city gates, and someone caught up with him and started proselytizing him because he knew he had these rich robes on, but it didn't mean anything. He had that big title, but it didn't mean anything. After being caught up and listening and talking to this person and the other one listening, he said, what must I do to be saved? So I'm kind of thinking that for a person to make a change, you mentioned it moments ago, that there has got to be a realization. But I don't think anyone is going to wake up and say, yeah, I'm going to change today. There's got to be some steps. It's got to be a reason. And most of all, if you're talking about the mind, there's got to be some type of spiritual or psychological aspect that reveals to this particular person that, you know, I'm not going the right direction. I'm not talking the right talk. I'm not dancing to the right music. I don't like myself. So let us hear some more steps, Colonel Harrison, that a person might want to take when he's going, as you said, in the right direction. He's got to turn around. Something's got to turn him around. Something's really got to turn him around. And I mentioned that show earlier, people are still flocking to buy the DVDs. Anyone in the psych field that really wants to know how to control the human psyche, please go see The Joker. I revise that this because until people really see what the psychologists, psychiatrists, they were paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to cooperate with the producers and directors of that movie that's grossed over $1 billion by people saying America is $1 trillion in debt. Well, it's people spent over $1 billion. Now, what most of them went to see, you know, I'm not sure, but the psych field that helped put this thing together went into the control mechanisms of men. If I'm going to control you, then this is what I'm going to get you to do. So right now we're talking about people making their life worth living, and of course, making a change. A change is a turnabout. Most people need help turning about, going in the other direction. And I know the great sage said that too. People, the word repent, you don't hear that on the streets because, you know, it's an inspirational, spiritual word taken in its context. you don't hear that. Repent means to turn around. And so you had said that people, you know, in changing, there's some steps, and you mentioned those. I won't mention them again. But are you saying, Colonel, that people, when they decide, and I don't know how they would decide on their own, the circumstance on the outside of them, 99% of the time dictates whether they change or they turn around. So in doing that, would you, where would you say the word repent would come in? Because repent means to turn around. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing and my step, and I'm going to turn around. How would you explain that to a person that wants to make their life worth living? Would they have to repent, change, turn around? I think you said that.
Yes. Repent, turn around, turn about, excuse me, turn away from. In other words, go in a different direction than they presently are going in. Whatever direction they're going in, if they're constantly being confronted with negative things, negative issues, negative people, they got to turn around. They got to turn about. They got to change their direction. They got to change the people they associate with. And part of that comes with also examining, why am I still associated with this person? Each time I see this person, I have an argument. Each time I see this person, I have a problem. Each time I see this person, they're trying to take advantage of me. So it comes to a point in time, you have to become aware of that, cognizant of that, accept it, and turn away from it.
Yes, I surely believe that, and you're right on the mark, because I'm looking at the definition, biblical definition of the word repent, and it means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing. So I'm thinking a person would first have to repent or feel regret about the steps they're taking or that they have taken, the way they're walking and the direction they're walking in. I think, according to the definition, they have to feel or express sincere regret. A person making a change does not necessarily have to feel and express regret about what he's doing, because, you know, all they got to do is wake up and say, you know what I'm doing is not working. It isn't working. I'm not feeling fulfilled, you know, in the direction that I am going. It is not working. I think repent and change really means a bit of a difference. How would you minister that definition between to repent and then to make a change? Because until people really, and me too, get it in their heart and mind that they're going to make a necessary change, but they're going to repent first, they're not going to have a life worth living. Would you agree with that, Colonel, Dr. Harrison?
Absolutely. Repent simply means to feel sorry for the wrongdoing that one is doing or has been doing, and turn away from it, turn about. Change means to make an adjustment, not to continually do the same thing, to alter that which you're doing to something that's better. So change sends and direct and sort of drive people in a different direction and a better direction. But first they have to do this remorseful thing, this feeling sorry for the things that they have been doing or they're caught up in, or the things that wrong that's causing them guilt. So they have to rationalize with self that feeling of guilt, and relieve themselves of it by simply saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I regret that I've done that. And I'm going to make a change. I mean, they're going to go in a different direction, a better direction, and a new direction.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that scares the sun, but it has to be done. You're so right, Sam. You know, I'm thinking in terms of a person wanting to make their life worth living, live a life worth living. What do you think would cause a person to really feel that the life that they're living right now isn't worth living? Suicide rates are up. Do you think there's something that's been implanted, you know, like an implant too? Do you think there's anything that has been implanted in man's heart, man's soul, man's his spiritual being. Do you think something is going on in each and every human being that perhaps was already programmed, not at his time of birth, but at the time of, wanting of conception? What do you think might have happened to mankind down through the centuries, down through the years, down through the decades, down through the eons of the creation of the earth? Because we know that there was a very powerful spirit being that said, come, come. So he wasn't talking to himself, come and let us make man in our image. Do you think something has been planted within man that said, now, you got all the tools now to walk about breathing on the face of this earth, but here's some of the things you got to do to live forever, not just for 70 or 80, as the psalmist in Psalm 90 said, but, at one point you could say to man, you can live forever in paradise. That's a very familiar phrase for some religionists. What happened there? Do you think we've stumbled on the key here that no matter what man does that is contrary to his creative force, hey, he is not going to have a life worth living until he gets in tune with his force? Oh, yeah, you're going to make a change. You're going to turn about. Oh, yeah, you're going to repent. You're going to turn around. What is your take on that, Reverend Dr. Colonel Harrison?
Changes that man or woman can make are limited. A child changes because the parent of the child disciplined the child. So the child has bad ways. The parent disciplined the child to bring about a change. The same with adults, same with grown-ups, same with a man or woman that's of legal age and mature. Ultimately, we have to look to the parent. We have to look to the father. We have to look to Jehovah. We have to look to God, the supreme architect of the universe, Allah, whatever name one decides, depending upon their faith, or lack of faith. We have to look to the Creator for the ultimate change, because the Creator has designed man and woman in a certain way and given us a certain purpose in life, that we are to go in a certain direction that will not only be pleasing to him, but benefit us.
There we go. Are you saying that there's some kind of a manual somewhere within that tells man how to live and what he should do to live a successful life or a life worth living? I'm with you. I don't think me, you, anyone is going to live a life worth living if we ignore the greatest force in the universe, a creative force that says, I created. Come, let us make man. I created. I am Jehovah. That is my name. I mean, how can we expect to live a life worth living with no acknowledgement of that force? It is more like a he said, he did. And if you want to be successful at living a life worth living, then you are going to have to acknowledge this presence, this being. We're going to have to, and this being calls for worship. Worship, this is really something that people have gotten away from. You know, they go and they sit down and they listen to words, but the form worship, he says so many times, worship me. So many people now feel, because of this virus, that they're not able actually to do it. And right now, I'm looking up the definition of worship, which means the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. That's the noun of it. And then the verb of worship, if you put it in the verbal context, show reverence and adoration for a deity. And you and I, we're going to say God. So until people bow down and show reverence and adoration for God and have this feeling of expression within their whole being of reverence for God, can we successfully sit here and tell people that a life worth living excludes that form of reverence? for something higher than who they are as a human being?
They have to connect with the deity, and the reason they have to, Doc, is because the spiritual dimension of man, woman, and child is made of three components: soul, body, and spirit. Soul, body, and spirit. So the spirit of the Creator was endowed within man, woman, and child when they were a baby. It goes back many, many thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Certainly don't have enough time to get into the in-depth detail of it, but we are three-dimensional beings, and the spirit being is the most important of the soul and the flesh, the soul, flesh, and spirit. And once one connects with the spirit, they connect with their creator, whatever name they so desire, the creator, and then they find their purpose in life, they'll receive their direction in life, and their life changes for the better.
Right, because if we're talking about a creative force responsible for man's being, this creative force has a life map. You want to go to Hong Kong, you use a map, GPS. I guess we can use that now. Well, this creative being created man with a internal GPS and with the strength and having the mind to do great deeds. So look at the planet Earth, how beautiful it is. We know things are happening now, but it's beautiful. Beautiful buildings, beautiful furniture. Women are beautiful as they can be, you know, with makeup and lashes and all that. Men are strong and wisdom. So we really can say, and boy, this is a great show, that until, bottom line, until I and anyone else wake up and say that in order to make my life worth living, I have got to recognize, then honor and worship a deity higher than myself. I've got to look at who I am as flesh and blood, and reach, as you usually say, tap into, and reach for a higher source. If I'm going around on earth walking about like, you know, I just don't care, and that, you know, I'm so great, I got so much money, you know, I'm living so good, without recognizing and honoring their creator, we have nothing. Without him, we have nothing. Without a concept of what am I going to do when I wake up tomorrow, I'm feeling like this today, I don't want to feel like this tomorrow. So what I think you are saying is that the recognizing and the honor and the worship of a source higher than who we are, no matter what our last name is, that is the only way a person is going to be able to make their life worth living. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on out here on the West Coast with people talking about all the chaos in the world. And I thought last night, and I said, wow, Colonel Harrison has a book, The Answer to Chaos in the World. And the Global Vision Show, the Global Vision Show for Living Today would like to offer Global Vision Ambassadors, because we can sit and talk each week, but until you and you and you make up your mind, okay, we're going to get out, we're going to meet in the marketplaces, wherever, to talk to them, or even by the email. You can become a Global Vision Ambassador for only $100. And that includes a book, two tickets to the upcoming We Are America tour beginning in June, and all events for 1 year. Isn't that astonishing? You get an opportunity to act as ambassadors for a higher power and a higher source. Colonel said, whatever you want to call him. But Colonel's book, The Answer to Chaos in the World, is yours. Go to www.ipforpeace.org and find out how you can become a Global Vision Ambassador. And until next Saturday, we thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Have a safe weekend. And just know, without him, we can do nothing at all. Have a great weekend.